All right, let's do this. It may be better if you don't say anything at all. Let's go ahead and launch the intro. Let's rock it. Go ahead, Disco.
Want to turn the tables on a liberal, tie them to a chair, and make them listen to This Is My Show with Drew Berquist? Sit back and watch their head explode. The show starts now. Drew Berquist does not condone actually tying liberals to a chair, though it's not an altogether bad idea either. Please note, no real explosive devices or materials were used for this sequence. Those who choose such activity may face charges of terrorism and struggle with violent images in their mind and sleep.
All right, I'm Drew Berquist. This is my show. As Demolition says, nice of Drew to join us. We apologize, guys. One of the servers for the live stream that pushes out all of the streams. The one that you don't want to go down is the one that's down. It's not just affecting us. It's affecting other people, too. And they, of course, told us 2 minutes before the live stream was supposed to start. But we're here. Disco might sound a little different today, maybe a little distant, partly because he is distant. He's not even in the same state as me, but also because his audio is coming through a different server than it normally is.
Yes. Can you guys hear me?
Maybe. Maybe they can. Maybe they can't. We don't know. It's also not going to as many platforms today as it normally does. So we're just, look, it is what it is. We're glad to be with Who Can Be Here. The rest of you guys can catch the show wherever you want to catch it. I've already gone through more gin than I wanted to, just waiting for this delay. But I'll say this, despite, I hope Disco is not in the yellow panda suit. We're not going to confirm or deny Denise whether that's him or not. We have done so. The old side point, since we're just here kind of having fun now that the show's running late, the people who are listening on the podcast, like, what do you mean it's running late? It doesn't matter to you, but for the live folks, it does, and we're so grateful that you stuck around. But in the old show, one of the old shows, I should say, we did hold hands on the beach.
We did.
It was brief. You shoved my hand down, if I remember correctly, which was maybe
we thought that would play better.
Yeah.
For the audience.
Yes, definitely. I think it did. It was a good deal. But yeah.
Despite all the technical issues, Rumble's actually working.
Yeah. Maybe everything has to break for Rumble to work. That's just how things work with their tech. We've just got to do this all the time. Again, to Judy, to Foster, to everyone who's over there. I can't say the one name, but I'm glad that you guys are there. Thank you for sticking through and watching through the tech difficulties. We tried to at least text you and let you know that that we were coming. We're going to figure it out. And this was a good lesson today. We'll figure out a tertiary backup too. You like that word? That's a big word for me.
Is that the word of the day for you?
It was. We're gonna put that on a shirt. Today I'm just wearing gin and I'm consuming gin. I've got a party to go to later too. They're gonna get an interesting version of me. But I'm in a good mood despite all this because it's Friday. We figured this out, but also because Biden has gotten absolutely crushed this week. And I mean, not just crushed, like devastated. Devastated. And hey, Alfredo in Portugal, damn glad to see you, by the way. But here, even CNN, and they don't go as hard as I do or as hard as I'm about to go, but even CNN is saying it. Roll this clip. And we've got no audio on that clip.
Interesting.
This is just a fun day. Well, here's what she talks about. She talks about all the stuff that we're about to talk about. And she says all of the things that we're about to say. They list out, you can maybe see it on the screen when it flashed up there. But she lists out all these things where it's just not a good week. And Eric and Michelle say, good, I didn't want to hear her anyways. Fair enough. Thanks for rolling with the punches today. But again, guys, this is a network. Keep in mind, CNN is, I struggle to even call them a network. That gives them a lot of credit. But this is a network, finger parents, that we've discussed this week, who is failing big time, needs to figure out anything they can to stop the boat from sinking, stop the bleeding, whatever analogy you want to use. But they've spent the last 2 years, not just his first year in office, but everything leading up to, going after Trump, going after conservatives, and moreover, protecting Biden, propping up Biden, and they can't fight the inertia anymore. They just can't do it. They can't say he's doing a good job at all. So they've got to. At this point, they've got to say, okay, look, let's sit down. Let's have our coffee. Let's have our morning staff meeting. There's no way that we can paint this guy in a positive light and keep any form of credibility left. Now, I know what you're saying. They don't have credibility left. But it just, I mean, golly, people, it's crazy. So we're gonna get into all sorts of stuff with him. We're going to get into the reasons, some of which were listed there on CNN that you didn't get to hear, but we'll discuss that Joe Biden has had a horrible year. We're going to do that. We're going to get into some other stories. We'll finish with booze and banter. Let us know what you're drinking now, by the way. hey, Ting Ting, good to see you coming in. Appreciate you being here as always. But we'll get into a bunch of stuff. And if you're at work, we won't tell if you're drinking. There's no judgment. This is a judgment-free zone. We might have, because of all these tech glitches, we might have some problems with the assets because of all the machines talking to each other. If you guys saw the way that we had kind of, I mean, it's done professionally, so I shouldn't say this. It's done professionally. We've got some state-of-the-art gear, but we rely on other people. But if you saw kind of all the stuff that was connecting and talking to each other, I think you'd be pleased or impressed. I don't know. I don't know if you would be or not. But anyways, we've got some good stuff. We're going to see if we can make it work. If for some reason we can't, we'll talk through it. We're here to just hang out and chat together anyways. But real quick, before we get into all of this, please hit the like button, whichever platform you're on. I know that we're not live on as many as we normally are today. We will fix that. It's again, not our fault, but please do hit that like button. Please subscribe. If you're listening to the podcast, please give us a favorable review and make sure that you've got the episodes automatically downloading onto your device. It helps us. It'll help you stay up to date. And then please, finally, go to drewberquist.com and subscribe for the newsletter. Helps us keep you posted with news articles, the show, all that kind of stuff. But also, there's some important announcements that are going to be coming up there. And then this segment that we're about to get into, which is a long one, so you don't have to hear a sponsor for a little bit here, but it's brought to you by USCCA. Are you the protector of your family? If so, and you should be, by the way, and if so, then we have the ultimate free resource for you and for your family. It's all thanks to the U.S. Concealed Carry Association. Many of you have heard of them. Many of you take part in their program, are members, but you haven't done everything. So we need, and the people who haven't heard, we need you to go check them out. There's amazing training. There's knowledge you can get. There's all sorts of stuff that you get. Self-liability insurance. You learn about what do you do after you have to use your weapon in self-defense. What happens when the cops get there? All of that stuff that a lot of us don't experience, hopefully never will have to experience, but you want to have that knowledge, you want to have that expertise on your side, and like all of our sponsors, USCCA does a ton to take care of us here on the show, so we'll ask that you would take care of them. Go join, feel that much more comfortable with yourself, with your training, with what's going to happen in all these different situations. It's a win-win situation, and again, you get this concealed carry guide for free, so head on over to uscca.com/Drew and sign up. We encourage you to go a step further and get a membership, but at least get this guide for free. So please do that. All right, let's start this day off. And again, we're starting it late, but let's get into it nonetheless. One of the things that Joe has failed with, and it's a long laundry list, obviously, but is his handling of COVID. And let's start here because his visible and verbal frustration in this clip, if it works, it might not work, is going to set the tone for today. Let's give it a shot.
And I'll stop here so we can get to the briefing started. Thank you for taking the time.
Mr. President, can I have a message for vaccinated Americans who are wondering why they should continue to restrict their activities given that your health officials say most Americans will get COVID at some point?
Folks, we'll talk about that later. Come on.
Why should Americans trust your administration to beat COVID when the virus is clearly winning?
I'm voting right. Do you think the Republicans would go for a right?
The virus is clearly winning, so why should
they
beat
COVID? Thank you so much.
Mr. President, do you believe Omicron is the beginning of the end of this pandemic?
Thank you so much, President.
How much longer do you think school people have to wear masks?
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate you.
And I mean, how couldn't he, and praise Jesus that clip worked. I hope the rest of them do with all the tech stuff today. But how couldn't he be annoyed? I mean, look at his first year as president. And keep in mind that he's had protection and support and all of that throughout this first year. And still, Despite all that coverage from big tech and big media, he's down to 33% in the approval ratings, as we discussed yesterday. And you know why? We all do. We discussed those figures yesterday. And first off, his 33% approval rating is the lowest on record for any president at this point in their term. On record. Now, maybe someone had it way back when that we're not aware of, but as long as we've been tracking stuff, this is the worst that we've seen at this point. But on to his failures. And honestly, where do you start? Which crisis do you begin with? And actually, before we even start, let me stop myself again and say this, because no one in the mainstream media is talking about this beyond the public. And I guess this is public, but beyond the public crises that we've seen endured, there's an expectation, and this should have been point one, and the fact that we even got here, and there's a lot of reasons how and why we got here, I get that, but there's an expectation that the president should be mentally and physically fit. And I'm not talking like CrossFit fit, like some of you are into that. Some people, that's their whole life. I'm not talking about like an actor fit who gets paid, has a personal chef and a personal trainer. I'm literally just talking about like being able to walk, put on his or her own pants, string sentences together, the bar is so low. It is so low. But there isn't a person out there who can look at Joe and, more importantly, listen to Joe and say he's well, because he's not well. Some people hide it and they don't want to talk about it, but they know deep down everyone knows it. And it's embarrassing. And Jill should be ashamed of herself. So we need to discuss that.
She is concerned.
You say that again?
I said you can see that she is concerned. That clip where he was like lost at that outside diner.
Diner, yeah. Definitely.
And she's like, hey, we're over here.
Yeah. No, but she loves power. So it's like, you know, a decent person would have said, Joe, honey, we're not going to run this campaign, or we're going to end this campaign. We're in the middle of it. We're going to end it because you're just not fit to do this. It would have been great if we could have pulled this off the other times you tried and lost, but it didn't happen. These are just the cards we're being dealt. But it didn't work that way. And she continued to push, and her family, we're going to talk about their family a little bit later on in the show too, but they have just pushed harder and harder, and it's crazy. But let's get to his disasters, because I want to talk about Hunter and some of that stuff in a little bit. We've got more than enough to cover today. And I'm not going to go into all of his failures. We've done that on a failure-by-failure basis throughout this past year. But you've got the border crisis, which he championed. And we've seen month-over-month record numbers of illegal immigrants coming in. I mean, month over month. Like, he literally is setting records in all the areas we don't want records set. And it's a problem. We've got the supply chain crisis. Grocery store shelves, and more so in other parts of the country than some, but they're empty. And this is a solvable problem, as we've talked about. The Dems wanted it. They wanted this problem to fester and grow, so they could swoop in and say, hey, let us, the federal government, we'll take care of this. We'll take care of it. We'll fix it for you, which will in turn give us more control, and we'll be able to inch our way into your lives more. And they know that some naive people would say, okay, that's great. Doug, the government's here. He's going to fix this for us. Disco, you can get your bread again. You can get your toilet paper again. But hooray. But they wanted this problem. They wanted this problem. The problem is, though, like they always do, not everyone always pays attention to it. They overplayed their cards, and as usual, they waited too long. And now this fabricated crisis and this fabricated lack of response so they could get to a bigger and more grand response has turned into a real crisis. And people are suffering in real time. Like, it is a legitimate, no-shit, real problem that people are facing, and it's really hard to come back from. Again, could have been solved. Overplayed your card. Waited too long. And then you factor in the vaccine mandates on top of that. And you've got trucker shortages. You've got shortages of workers at the ports. You've got all sorts of stuff. All things that could be fixed. All things that could be stopped. Very solvable.
No, and I would say the one thing that people have forgotten is what Ronald Reagan said. The worst thing you could hear is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and he talked about how we're going to be destroyed from within. Like, that's our biggest problem is ourself. And that's true in real life on an individual level, and that's certainly true as a country and as a people. But it's happening real time in front of us. Thankfully, more people are waking up. But then you move on with Joe and some of his stuff. And again, we could talk about Joe and his failures forever. Like, his whole life is a failure. His family is a failure. And I'm sorry if that offends you, because that sounds mean. That's like I'm going below the waist. But they just are. We'll talk about that more later. But there's inflation. Inflation at 7% right now. It's a 39-year high. He promised, by the way, to keep that down. I'm going to control inflation. Well, he didn't. Like, at all. Like, that didn't happen. And then just to fit this in there, going back to the first point I made about his well-being, about his health, on top of all the crises that we've covered, we'll cover, he just in general sounds like this.
Now, I don't like to, outline the next steps we're taking against... I'd like to outline the next steps we're taking against the Omicron variant.
I mean, come on. Come on, bro. You're the president of the United States. I know that no one values you in that sense. No one's looking to you to actually fix anything. But you got to just, I mean, what do you say? What is he saying? Does anyone understand what he said there? As many said, he's mentally challenged. And again, I know some do. I don't personally celebrate that. I just call it what it is. You look at him and you say, he's got problems. Not problems with an S, plural. It's insane. But getting back on point, I had to show that because I saw that. I was like, God, Lee, this is what we're dealing with.
What I was going to say is, does he read the speech before he goes out there? Or do they just hand the cue cards and say, here, good luck? Because it seems like he's trying to grasp for words. But
yeah.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right, exactly. You would think so. But the thing is, I mean, you think about it, like, okay, and again, credit to these staffers and admins who work for this man and his slut vice president. You've got a person who's you've never like seen someone like, hey, sir, here's the brief, who doesn't at least consume 70-80% of it and then maybe wing it on the rest and say, I'm gonna just catch up with it on the teleprompter, blah, 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 blah. But you've got someone who doesn't remember where he is, who literally on the campaign trail would say, that's why I'm running for U.S. Senate. You're not running for Senate. You're running for president. And the fact that people are still listening to you after saying that is terrifying. But yeah, but you're right. I mean, you'd think this is not hard. Look, I talk all the time. I make mistakes all the time. I say things the wrong way. I read some of my own notes and thoughts the wrong way. I'm a human. But I, most of the time, get what I'm trying to say and push that message out there. He most of the time does not and looks like we just saw. Like, let's be clear. Or no, what's he say? Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Come on, man.
Come on, yeah, yeah. Come on, man. Yeah, I mean, let's be clear, is definitely Obama.
There was a few times, too. Yeah, that's Obama.
Let's be clear.
A few times he called himself Jill.
Yes, he did.
Remember, he got up on the podium. He's like, I'm Joe Biden.
Which is, you know, in 2022, 2021, you can do that. You can change genders, change names throughout the day. You do whatever you want. But not if you're the president. Not if you're the president. You got to be better. We have expectations. But let's get on with the list because there's a lot to cover. So he's also got rising gas prices. I was at the liquor store yesterday. Don't judge me. I had to get prepared for this tech difficulty today that we faced. And now I'm going to have to go back tomorrow. That's a different story. But I'm talking, and the clerk behind, out of nowhere, like, he didn't know who I was. Damn him. Maybe he did. I don't know. But I'm there, and he's talking, and out of nowhere, he's like, these gas prices. He starts talking about gas prices. Last year at this time, it was this, and now they're this. And he's bitching about it. But I bring that up because everyone is. Everyone is. And it's just, that's just the way... The way that it is, stand by. Okay. So, sorry. That's just the Friday we're having. It's gin, not vodka. I love it. Demolition. Oh, for fuck's sake. It just is what it is. Everyone's out to get us today. I feel the same way. I appreciate you guys sticking around. Worst case, we'll just look at each other and drink and just, you know, kind of lip sync. Like, we'll give baseball signals. We'll figure it out. It just is what it is. But we talked about gas. I was talking about gas prices before Disco let us know that we had another problem. I need you to not let me know that we have problems. That's just, it's frustrating. It's not your fault. I love you. No. Yeah. I'm sure you smell nice. I can't smell you from where you are. But the gas prices are up. This guy was recognizing it, and they are. And he promised to stop on the campaign trail the virus. He didn't. He now has, well, more COVID deaths than Trump by like a long shot. And according to the rating that came out by Quinnipiac yesterday, only 39% of America thinks which is sadly way higher than his overall approval rating. But Christy says, getting drunk here. That's how we do it on Booze and Banter Fridays. I don't want to say good for you, but but good job. But he promised to stop the virus. 39%, which is higher than his 33% approval rating, says he's doing a good job with the virus. That's a low number. A low number. And you know what would raise the percentage? You know what would lift that? Is if you just tell people the truth the whole time. Just say, look, guys. Let me speak to you clearly, American people. You're going to get the virus. You might get it multiple times, like Drew, and like people you know, and perhaps yourself. But we have treatment for it. There's things we can do. There's multiple options, some of which we don't like to talk about because it goes against Big Pharma, but there's multiple options and approaches to make sure that you manage your way through this and come out on the other side okay. And almost everyone will be. Will some people struggle? Yes, of course. But you encourage people with how you're going to open the economy, restore freedoms, people's ability to work, earn a living. I don't care what party you're from. If someone would step up and do that, like they are here in Florida with Ron DeSantis, I would be like, yeah, that guy. I'm behind that guy. Right now, I might not be behind that guy's party. I am in this case of DeSantis, but I might not be behind that guy's party in this fictitious scenario, but I'm behind that guy. But moving on, he abandoned Americans in Afghanistan who are still there, by the way. We're not going to talk about that. I rehashed it literally just yesterday. Go back and watch the show. Nothing pisses me off more than how he has handled that situation and how important it is to me and my family and how much time and my colleagues and my friends and teammates' family, how much time we spent there. But then you had Joe's week getting worse when the Supreme Court SCOTUS struck down his vaccine mandate, as we started the show with yesterday, letting you know that breaking news, saying that private companies who employ 100 people or more could not force them to get the shot. Well, we've got a couple clips of Psaki here today. I'm sorry you got to look at her or listen to her. But here is her response on it right off the bat. Take a listen.
Give us that reaction to the Supreme Court opinions. And on the substance of the matter there, how much of a blow is this to the administration's pandemic response plan that the employer mandate part of the testing or vaccination mandate or halted, and how will that affect the course of the pandemic?
Sure. Well, I know there'll be the statement from the president that should be coming into your inboxes any moment now. But let me give you a quick reaction. First, let me start with some good news, news that maybe isn't getting enough attention yet. That's our jobs here, or my job here, I should say. CMS's requirement for healthcare workers to be vaccinated will save the lives of patients, as well as the lives of doctors, nurses, and others who work in healthcare settings. It will cover 17 million healthcare workers at 76,000 medical facilities. The Supreme Court upheld it, and we will enforce that. The Supreme Court's decision on the OSHA mandate essentially means that in this pandemic, it is up to individual employers to determine whether their workplaces will be safe for employees and whether their businesses will be safe for consumers. So President Biden, you'll see this in his statement, will be calling on and will continue to call on businesses to immediately join those who have already stepped up, including one-third of Fortune 100 companies, to institute vaccination requirements to protect their workers, customers, and communities. We have to keep working together in order to get this done, to save more lives. I would note that there are a couple of good signs in terms of without this, even in spite of the ruling that we would point to. One is that 57%, according to a Navigator poll, of Americans support vaccine requirements. According to a Wills Tower Watson's report, a survey of 534 U.S. employers, a majority, 57% of respondents have or will require their employees to get vaccinated against COVID-19. Why? Because employees want to feel safe in the workplace, because they want to incentivize workers to come back to the workplace, and because they've seen large companies across the country implement this and see how effective it is.
All right. So one third of those companies started that, Jen, because you threatened to fine them company crushing fines, fees. I love the attempts to put lipstick on this. Well, everything you said is true, and that sounds really bad, but let me try and spin this for you. I'll just do what I can to try and figure that out. Golly, it's crazy. But you guys called Trump, you, Jen, so many of your followers and friends, and you don't have many followers, but so many of your people, so many on that side of the aisle called Trump a dictator for 4 years. 4 years, despite evidence to the contrary. You called him authoritarian. He's squashing the press. He never did. He's doing this. He never did. He's never going to leave office. Guess what? He left. None of the things that dictators or authoritarians do. And then you actually became a dictator yourself, or tried to, with all these mandates. It's absolutely ridiculous. But this clip of Jen is even better. And I don't know why I'm even listing things, because the CNN clip that didn't work at the beginning listed a lot of it. And then you've got this reporter who lists all these things in his question to Jen Psaki. Take a listen. Disco, if you're still here, fire this clip.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I had a couple specific ones, but I wanted to kind of follow on that. As you're determining next steps, I mean, frankly, things just seem like they're going pretty poorly right now for the White House. Build Back Better is being blocked. Voting rights is being blocked. Diplomatic talks with Russia doesn't seem to have brought us back from the brink of war, inflation's at a 40-year high, the virus is setting records for infection. So as we kind of hit this one-year period and a period where everything seems like it's in pretty rough shape, or nearly everything, which is not an invitation, I guess, to list off some other things, I'm wondering at what point do you take stock and say that things need to change internally, whether it's your outreach for the Hill, whether it's the leadership within the White House. You seem to be stymied on an incredible number of fronts right now.
Well, let me give you a little bit of a different take on this. More than 200 million people are vaccinated. We've had record job growth, record low unemployment rates historically in this country over the last year. We've rebuilt our alliances and our relationships around the world. And right now, as it relates to Russia, as you heard our national security advisor convey, we're working with partners around the world to convey very clearly, it's up to them to make a choice about what's next. We're not going to make that on their behalf. It's up to them to determine if there are going to be crippling economic sanctions or not, or if they decide to move forward. But we also recognize when you have a small margin and threshold in the Senate, it's very difficult to get things done and to get legislation passed. And the fact that the president, under his leadership, got the American Rescue Plan passed, a bipartisan infrastructure bill with 19 votes in the Senate, about 6 votes in the House, the fact that we are still continuing to work with members to determine the path forward on Build Back Better, that we have the vast majority of Democrats in the Senate supporting voting rights, that's a path forward for us. And our effort is to do hard things, try hard things, and keep at it. So we just don't see it through the same prism.
So the sense is things are going well, there's no need for change right now.
I think that having worked in a White House before, you do hard things in White Houses. You have every challenge laid at your feet, whether it's global or domestically. And we could certainly propose legislation to see if people support bunny rabbits and ice cream, but that wouldn't be very rewarding to the American people. So the president's view is we're going to keep pushing for hard things, and we're going to keep pushing the boulders up the hill to get it done.
Hold on. First off, everything she said is garbage, as we know. But bunny rabbits and ice cream for Americans would be amazing. And you know Joe would love it. Joe loves ice cream. Every freaking stop he makes, whether it was campaign or as president now, he goes by an ice cream store and embarrasses himself. A bunny rabbit, something with hair that he can sniff, ice cream, those are his favorite things. And most Americans love ice cream. But I love his attempt to spin things. And as Disco was, it was typing to me in our little, I don't know what we call that, but in our studio notes, wasn't she supposed to be gone? Yeah, she's going to be gone soon. I don't know what the deal is with her. But they're trying to put all this stuff out there. They're trying to spin things as best they can. And kudos to that reporter for saying, hey, and I'll be honest. I tend to know what's going on. I don't know which that reporter was. I don't know who he was, where he's from. Like, I don't know what his stance or his leanings are. But kudos to him regardless for throwing it out there like CNN did earlier. Saying, hey, here are all your failures. What the hell are you doing to change things up? Because it seems like you're just plowing ahead when no one in America likes you. But they're trying to put this out, and they're trying to spin what she does there. Hey, stats about the job growth and the economy. Guys, these fictitious, not defined, not clear stats that they're putting out are pure lies. They're not true. It's not true. It's not happening. And they say, hey, she said there, we've returned and strengthened alliances around the globe. No, we haven't. Who are you talking about? I'd love to know. Give me an example. Who are you talking about? Because people are terrified. We hear it from citizens. We hear it from government leaders about how weak America is right now, about how fractured America is right now. We've had allies pull ambassadors in this past year. We've had allies flip out because we handled Afghanistan the way that Joe did and created this massive international blunder. Surprised everyone. Like, hey, surprise. We're going to just pretend that we learned nothing about our enemies for the last 20 years. Pull out and give them the world. Like, it's insanity. It's insane. There's no other words. Joe always, this administration always befuddles me. They get to my head to the point where I couldn't do a crossword puzzle when I'm talking about them because I literally, and you're right, Mudcat, we pissed off France. They over the sub deal, like when I talk about Joe, I lose words because he makes me that angry. Like, you're making such bad mistakes. If Tulsi Gabbard was there, I'd be okay with it. Okay, you made a big mistake here. That was stupid. You're a Democrat who made the wrong policy move, but you made a great move here. If it, by the way, whatever. I'm not going to say that. But I sound like Joe there. But let's keep going. Let's keep going with this list. I love you, Tulsi. But let's continue. Because you've had people like Sinema and Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, who have shut down major attempts to overhaul policy all year long, radically change how our government looks, operates, functions, all of that. And thank God for them. Thank God for them. They are critical. And yesterday in particular, Kyrsten Sinema shot down attempts to remove the filibuster. Take a listen to her talking here.
Address the disease itself, the disease of division, to protect our democracy. And it cannot be achieved by one party alone. It cannot be achieved solely by the federal government. The response requires something greater and, yes, more difficult than what the Senate is discussing today. We need robust.
Awesome. God bless you, Kyrsten Sinema. I love it. I love it. I've got so much crap going on my monitors here, I can't figure out what's going on. Trying to help Disco with something. But I'm so proud of her for standing up in the face of great pressure and adversity from her colleagues, from the Democrats. It's important. It's critical. Disco, I'll get you sorted here in a second. But she's standing up, and she's standing. You know what she's doing? And you know what's so refreshing about this? And again, I don't agree. I don't agree with most of what Kyrsten Sinema says or does at all. I was pissed when she won her seat. But what she did here and what her and Joe have done time and time again is they've stood up for America over their party, which is what every one of those representatives should do. Every one of them. But now, because she did that, she's getting roughed up in the press. Roughed up, I'm sure, in conversations with Democrat leadership behind closed doors in D.C. All because she won't toe the party line. The party line that, as she alludes to, in this particular sense and in this particular legislation, changes America. It changes our entire country. The voting reform efforts that they've been pushing, that Joe got slammed down on this week. They're removing the fill, all of this stuff. It changes the country. Every bill that this particular party has presented this year so far under this administration has a desire attached to it. It's a desire to control, a desire to eradicate the country of conservative thought. And they want it so bad that they're literally willing to break everything to get it. That's a problem. And yes, Raven, does Drew's wife know he has a Tulsi fetish? Maybe so. Whatever. I mean, it is what it is. She knows that I'm hers. I don't know if that's much of a prize, but but it is what it is. So the title is this. The title of today's episode is, especially after this week, this rough week, rough year, but rough week for Joe Biden, is that he's the worst president in U.S. history. And we've said that throughout this past year, because he just keeps making it worse and worse and worse on himself. And some will say to that, well, Drew, that's not fair. He's got 3 years to go. He's got three more years in office. To which I would say, I mean, does he? Does he? I mean, is he going to make it? Is he actually going to get to that point where he makes it through this term? I don't know. But even if he does, let's just say, even if he does okay, let's say that the first year is the worst, and he does okay through the rest of the year, does that fix this year? Does that make this year better? I don't think so. I mean, this could have been the most disastrous year in terms of politics and political history. So even if he did okay, even if he did quasi great on a couple points, good. He's not capable of great. We know Joe's not capable of great. Putting pants on is a tough thing for him. But if he did okay to good, you still are going to end up being the worst candidate, the worst president in U.S. history, despite being considered and called, according to the votes, which we all know is garbage, the most popular candidate in history. It's interesting how that all works. But you know who loves it? Jimmy Carter loves this. Jimmy Carter's like sending him a fruit basket, like, this is great. Hey, Joe and Jill, enjoy this. Enjoy that pear. It's delicious. Because now everyone hates you more than me. Which, by the way, don't send fruit baskets. They're the worst gifts ever. That and edible arrangements. I know some of you are big fruit people. That's great. It's good for you. But if you send me a basket of fruit, maybe 25% of which is covered in chocolate, I'm more mad at you than I am happy. I just am. Yeah. And Disco and I got one. So we had a really, and I don't care if this person's listening because they're a douchebag, but like we had a really momentous occasion once, and things were really going well. They didn't end that way, but they were going really well. And what we got in return was not some positive conversation, not a raise, no monetary value. We were told something great was coming and congrats. And we got an edible arrangement that we didn't eat. No one ate because no one likes those things. Crazy. Don't send edible arrangements. Sorry, edible. I'm sure you're a great company. Maybe hopefully you take care of your employees and you're not for vaccine mandates and all of that stuff. But Joe Biden has made Jimmy Carter, all that to say, a happy person because he's no longer, Jimmy, the worst president in U.S. history. So congrats to you, Jimmy. That's congrats. But I will give Joe this. The one promise, and I think I tweeted about this earlier today. The day gets busy enough that I don't remember. But the one promise that he has fulfilled from campaign until now, and he deserves some credit for it, is that he did bring people together. He just did. That's the one thing he did, because the whole country, based on these new ratings, which we know are flubbed up high. The whole country hates you, Joe. The whole country sees you for the failure that you are. All right. Disco's writing a comment here. His audio got cut out. He says, you would think that we're at the bottom of the barrel with Joe, but he just keeps going down. We can't say there's only, we can't say there's only up from here. We haven't even seen rock bottom. Yeah, it's true. We haven't hit there. I love that we're typing now. We're essentially doing like sign language. I don't know sign language, but all right. But things are going to get worse for Joe and his crew. They just are. So he's had this rough week. He's had this horrid year. But before we get to these next story and booze and banter, this segment of the show is brought to you by the Root Brands. A lot of you guys have seen Dr. Christina Rahm on the show, all of her life-changing products. Guys, they're amazing products. Some of you have gotten the vaccine. We don't judge here. We don't care. We don't tell you whether to get the vaccine or not. Some of you have lived a life like me where you've lived in a land or lands overseas where you're just exposed to all these toxins. We all are in our own way. So please go check out the Root Brands. You can do that. You can get Clean Slate, Restore, Zero In, a bunch of products in the Trinity package. You can get individual packages. But what they do and what they're focused on is they are going after trying to clean your bloodstream. Take those heavy metals, those toxins out of your system, none of which are good for you. And they've got amazing products to do it. And we're so excited that they've partnered with us. It's one of my favorite sponsors because they're not only great to us, but you guys, in particular you, the end user and the viewer, wins with this. So go check it out. It's therootbrands.com/Drew Berquist. You can see it on the screen. You can see it in the show notes and share it with people. Because, guys, this is important stuff. What they're doing is amazing there. I use their stuff. I don't just tell you that. I do use their stuff. It's awesome. We'll get them back on the show as well to talk about it. And I think you're going to be excited that you try it. Okay, so you think Joe's annoyed now. We showed you the clip earlier today where he was annoyed. He's frustrated. Wait until this next story fully develops. The former wife of Hunter Biden, who is an absolute disaster, as we all know, Kathleen Buell, is set to release a book on June 14th. I saw some of you guys talking about this too in pre-show. So you're on point with the stories that we're going with today. So she's set to release a book that's reported to focus on basically being a Biden, being a part of that family, and dealing with the abuse, affairs, drug addiction, all the stuff that she was, you know, a part of, stuck with, being married to, I mean, gosh, can you imagine just for a second being married to Hunter Biden and then being a part of that family? But the book's titled If We Break, A Memoir of Marriage, Addiction, and Healing. She spoke to People magazine about the upcoming book and said, quote, when my marriage ended, I felt like I'd lost my sense of who I was. Anyone who has seen addiction ruin a relationship or been through infidelity and divorce can tell you how devastating it feels. But what I also realized through those crushing experiences is that I needed to find a way to stand on my own. She added on that, quote, writing the book has been incredibly healing for me, and my hope is that it will be meaningful to those who have been through addiction or divorce, and especially to women who have felt their entire identity was tied to their spouse. So, first of all, great that she's doing that, and I'm sure there's a healing process because people who deal with that stuff is tough. It's frustrating. It's sad. It's all of that stuff. So I encourage her to continue to push down this path because I know I've been through my family, not myself, has been through a divorce. I know plenty of people who have. I know it's not easy. I know a lot of you probably have. Most of us haven't been married to a Hunter Biden though. Like, that's next level. So the fact that she's approaching it that way and then what's going to come out of it in terms of the nuggets and the information that we can use and talk about is pretty damn awesome. So as reported by the Daily Mail, the book will center on the, quote, heavy toll drug addiction takes on relationships as Hunter Biden, fueled by a coke and alcohol habit, spent the couple's money on drugs, alcohol, strippers, and prostitutes, and engaged in an affair with his dead brother Beau's wife, Hallie. Gosh, I mean, I can't imagine Thanksgiving there. It's got to be crazy. But, that's what the book's going to focus on. It's going to talk about healing and this, that, and the other. But look, and you can look, there's some graphic pictures that are coming up on the screen if you're watching. But this is who this guy is, and I pick on him a lot. He's a screwed up person who makes horrible decisions look like good decisions. He's just that bad and seemingly is incapable of doing anything right. He's done everything he can to not just sink himself, but to sink his father and his father's presidency now. But he's a guy who literally, I mean, he literally can't, guys, he can't, and Raven just joked about it. He can't even smoke crack right. He admitted to accidentally snorting Parmesan cheese. But like with his father, Joe and Jill, who has her own baggage, I really do, like, I'm not I always say this and I mean it, I'm not cheering for their demise in terms of human beings. I hope that they can recover, get their stuff together just on a basic human level. But what I don't want for them to be is America's first family. It's embarrassing and a huge stain on the American people. What I don't appreciate further and really more so is the fact that the White House and the mainstream media actively is covering from them, trying to hide who they are, despite the copious amounts of evidence that are front and center out there. These clips are all over social media. There's an FBI investigation into his laptop. There's an FBI investigation into the handling of a firearm purchase. There's all sorts of stuff. But why not just show us who they are? There's evidence there. You're hiding. You're protecting them. But instead, they paint them as this perfect couple, the perfect American family. And as Disco sang on the which is coming through in a turquoise-backed type, which is delightful. It's gorgeous, Disco. Is that when you're the most powerful man in the country, you can cover up whatever you want. Whatever you want, he says double. He says it twice. I don't know if you really meant to do that, but I'm saying it twice. But it's true. And then when you've got a media and you've got big tech and you've got all these people who are squarely behind you and squarely behind changing everything about this country, it makes it a lot more easy to spin this tale and to hide this stuff. But I can't wait to see what happens when this book comes out. I guarantee you there's conversations going on right now saying, Kathleen, how much do we owe you? How much do you need to not have the publisher print this book and get it out there? And I hope she doesn't. I hope it continues to go through. It seems like it's going to, and it's going to be great. All right. Did I just hear a yep out of Disco?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Sound delightful.
Okay, I'm back in the speakers now.
Yeah. All right. So let's do this. I want to touch on, speaking of Democrats and how dumb they are, you're from Chicago. Well, your family's from Chicago. You're not from Chicago.
Yeah, I was born in Florida, but the rest of my family was born and raised in Chicago.
There you go. So I want to touch on a city that, speaking of Democrats and how they spin tails and they're not, you know, who they say they are, a city that's the perfect example of Democrat policies and their vision for America. And this is in a segment that we're going to call, let's see what's going on in Chicago. All right. I love it.
So the gunshots keep going.
Yeah. That's Chicago. I do need a refill. Raven 6 is right. I told you, when we switch to our new studio, I'm going to hire a bartender. We're going to have them. They're going to be great. I don't know if they're going to be good, but he needs an AOC. That's right. I do. Okay. So what we're doing, though, with Chicago, this is a simple segment, but I think it's important to do every once in a while, and we've talked about it before. We've talked about Chicago, the violence in Chicago. We've talked about how Lori Lightfoot, Beetlejuice, is an awful mayor or just an awful person in general. So here's what happened. I went to ABC Chicago, I think 7, their website. And they've got a section because the city is such a dumpster fire that is just for Chicago violence. And I just took screenshots. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to read the headlines from the Chicago violence section on ABC 7. And if they decide to change it, we'll find them from somewhere else. But I'm going to read them to you. We're going to flash them on the screen. Let's pop up the first image here. This is the homepage, if you will, of that section. And I'm going to read them to you. Two boys, 14, killed in separate Chicago shootings on the same day. Next one, boy, 14, killed killed near West Side shooting. Pregnant woman shot to death in Inglewood. Three hurt, including two teens in Little Village shooting. Foreshot near Green Line CTA station at 63rd King Drive CPD. Man 56 stabbed in broad daylight in River North, police say. Chicago man charged after teen toddler abducted in...
Everyone always talks about Florida man, but Chicago man is alive and well.
Chicago man is alive and well. So that's the first... Guys, that's the, you read those headlines, you're like, man, that sucks. That's the first, the top part of the page, rather. If you scroll down a little bit, here's page, not page two, but what we're going to call page two. And I got to squint on my screen to read these, but man 46 shot in head in Auburn Gresham. If I said that wrong, I'm sorry. I don't really care. Stabbing victim crashes car into Ukrainian village salon. That sounds interesting. Chicago weekend violence leaves seven shot, says the CPD. One in custody after teen toddler abducted in Craig. I don't know that part of town. I got to know that. I should know that. Stolen car. Joker accused of, I don't know if it's the real Joker. Maybe he's a real deal. Joker accused of selling CPD car on fire. Setting CPD car on fire, excuse me, expected to plead guilty. Armed men steal cars at gunpoint from valet in Fulton River District. That's page two. Let's do page three. Boy, seven, allegedly abducted by mother at gunpoint, found safe. Man has belongings, car violently stolen in North Park, armed robbery. Cook County rejects Lightfoot, asked to suspend electronic monitoring, dealing with cop monitoring. Lyft driver, passenger shot at Woodlawn. Video shows 69-year-old man beaten, robbed in Uptown, and then Cook County shootings kill more in 2021 than ever before on record. So, guys, that's just headlines. We're not breaking down any of the stories. I'm not getting into, like, Chicago-specific stuff. We're not a Chicago show. That's not what we are. We're an international or global, whatever, you know, full-on American show, although we do have a ton of international listeners. But I bring it all up, and the reason we have this segment is there's always this violence. I've told you before the stats. Like, there was a point in time, it might still be the case. I can't confirm that it is today. But at a certain point, just years ago, there were more deaths in Chicago on an annual basis than there were in Iraq and Afghanistan combined of U.S. service members. And that has been a consistent trend. And what kills me about places like this is you take away the draconian mandates, all the stuff that's happening in terms of COVID and what have you. And there's just pure violence, and there's people, these Democrats, the Lori Lightfoots of the world, the local aldermen and other city council type officials who are there who promise we're going to fix this every 2-4 years. And then they do nothing. They do nothing. And as a response and as a result, you have headlines like these. Headlines like these. And it's not just today. It's not just this week. We did this. We'll do that. We'll do it as often as we have to. We'll play the What's Going On in Chicago segment, and we'll read their headlines, because this stuff is an everyday event in Chicago. And it's the reason why I always say, and a lot of others say, get out of big cities. Guys, they don't care about you. They're so invested in who they are and what their party is that they don't care. They don't care whatsoever about you, your community, about any of these headlines, which were probably just some, plenty of that didn't actually make the news. And yet for 50, 75, 100 years, some of these cities have remained this way. They've remained this way under Democrat control, saying, you know what, maybe this year will be better. Maybe this next election cycle will be better. This person's promising something that we've never seen happen before. Here's someone that we've never given a chance to. Here's a party that we've never given a chance to. And the result is literally you get those results. You get lockdowns. You get mandates. You get school closures. And you get murder. And it's freaking murder, death, kill. Let's get Sylvester Stallone and Sandra Bullock in here. Wesley Snipes is probably, he's probably in jail or something for something else he's done wrong. But that's what you get. That's what you get. All right. Enough of Joe. Enough of Chicago. It's your turn to submit some questions comments, all of that. We'll get to them in Booze and Banter. Maybe I can get someone to bring me a drink in this studio for the love of Pete. We'll see you on the other side of this bump. All right, Booze and Banter time. It is your turn, guys. Again, apologies for the tech difficulties at the front of the show. Some of the ones that have come in during the show today. Again, we can't control all this. The world of digital media is changing in front of us. It just is what it is. So we're here. We're glad that you've stuck around, that you're with us. Please, Calizuela, says Chaz, is what California's been named to. Please send in your questions. Because of the tech difficulties, I haven't gotten as many written down today as I usually do. So please fire them in. Comments, questions, you name it. Let us know what you're drinking. Let us know what you're doing this weekend. We don't care. We just want to spend a little bit of time with you before we wrap for the day and for the week. So fire them in now. Disco, glad you're back. I think you're back.
Yeah, I think I'm here.
You yeah, think you're here.
I like what Leah said. She said, Drew, just how often do you lock Disco in a box?
That's a great question, Leo. So, Leo. So, let me tell you this, Leah. Side story. There's a guy I worked with way back when, and I don't think he's listening. I don't think he cares. I don't think this is technically breaking any rules, but he was an Asian fella. Really nice guy. Young guy. Worked in a group that I was working with or was associated with it in one capacity or another. And we were going to get a bunch of new cover names, which you do in Intel. Certain select amount of people do. And we're going to do it. And this guy who's an Asian, he's a funny guy. Funny guy. I'm sure he's a fun guy to hang out with even today. He requested one of the names he requested. They would give you some, or you could request some. And if they got approved, you got it. He requested, Leo did, one name to be Hung Low. I'm not screwing with you. And they approved it because, you know, the person on the other end was like, no, that's, oh, he's Asian. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to give it to him. So he literally got that name. He has a driver's license. Well, he probably doesn't anymore. Hopefully he's retired and moved on and doing better things with his life. But he had a driver's license and an address for the name Hung Low. But Leah, to answer your question, how often do I lock him in a box? Well, not nearly as much since now he's in a remote location. He's not in the same studio as us. He's good enough that we kept him, but I think he probably moved because we locked him in a box a lot. I don't know. That's kind of my sense.
Well, the control room was literally in a box for a while.
It was very hot. Yes.
It was very hot in that box.
Very hot.
But no, I didn't move because of that.
Oh, okay. That's good. Okay, I feel better about things. Okay. Maybe I have some more questions about other parts of things. But all right, send your questions in. Please do hit that like button if you have not already. We're glad that you're here today. TM Manente, I need a short name for you over on Rumble. I worked with Hung Wu. There you go. Hung Wu. I love it. That's great. All right. No one puts Disco in a corner, says Foster over on Rumble.
Mudcat has got a question for you.
Okay, fire it up.
It's not political or anything. What's your favorite brand of gin? I send you a bottle instead of a fruit basket.
Fair enough. And again, thanks for your... Yeah, So here's the deal. Here's my thing with gin. Gin is my afternoon, like early evening, like happy hour kind of drink. And again, we do happy hour earlier than most people do. If you judge us, that's fine, whatever. But we don't value your opinion in that case, but, and I'm not saying that to you, but just to anyone. But so for gin, I actually like Bombay Sapphire as much as I do some of the expensive ones. If I'm going to do gin, I'm happy with that. I really am. When it comes to bourbon and scotch and stuff like that, then I get more specific and I'm a little bit more snobby on it. But when it comes to gin, I really am pretty damn, I mean, Hendrick's is great. There's some other ones that are expensive that are great, but like, given the amount that may or may not be consumed, it just makes sense to get the big Bombay bottle. That's just kind of where I'm at.
I got one of those in my cabinet right now.
It did nearly stump me, Leah. I love that she's like, we've got him. We've got him. No, it's a great one. It's a great one. Again, there's some really nice ones out there. I will do it. But because there are certain parts of my my schedule and kind of my routine, I'm happy just with the basics there. I mean, it just is what it is. Eric and Michelle, love Drew's complete honesty. Have no filter either. Why bother? Exactly. I'm telling you, we're at the point in life, you know, in terms of whether it's because of your age, whether it's because of the division in our country, whether it's because of anything, I just don't care. And honestly, that always sounds mean, but like, it's not that I don't care about other people. I'm as fiercely, if you're in my circle, you are in my circle, and I will do anything for you. I will die for you. But I just don't care. Like the haters and the naysayers that are out there, like, I can't believe he said that. Well, I don't care that you can't believe I said that. I don't care if it offended you. I didn't try to offend you. That was not my intent. But if it did, and you're that easily offended, then we're probably never going to be friends. So that's kind of my stance too, Eric and Michelle. I don't know if I'm talking to Eric or Michelle or both of you, but that's kind of where I'm at. Mini Trout likes Bailey's Irish Cream. I've got someone I know that's close to me that does as well. Very good person. Not my thing. It's a little sweet for me, but I do like it. And I'll tell you this. I'm not encouraging this. I'm not saying that I did it, but it's a classy way to drink on the job. You put some of that in your coffee, you're good to go. all right. Good thing I can't get canceled because it probably would happen. Okay. What else do we got? Let's look over on... some of the other platforms here and see what we've got. Trying to scroll. Disco, if you see something, read it. We can't obviously throw it up in the one platform today because... Yeah. Eric, it's just honest. It's mean to lie and be fake. Exactly. Look, if someone has a problem... There's people I know who are very, like, buttoned up. And I was at one point, too. It's been a long time. I don't remember it well. But there's a point where you try to please everyone, you try to be buttoned up and portray this person. It's like, why are we doing this? Like, seriously, why are we doing this? And you get to that point where, and that's where I am now, like, I my goal is never to offend people, piss people off, say things that make them uncomfortable, but my goal is also like, I'm not going to do what you want me to do because you think it's right. And what you think is right is not necessarily right. It might be for you, but it's not for everyone. It's certainly not for me. So I think that's just, I've just gotten to that point where, again, it sounds like I don't care and I'm selfish and I'm a douche about it. It's literally the opposite. I care a lot. I care a ton about people. I just am not going to cater to everyone. It's just, it's a useless drill. BM, Drew, do you remember? Go ahead.
Okay, Mudcat. Just imagine if the Trump family had 1/100th of what the Biden's family has.
Oh, exactly. No, they went after him. And again, I'm not some Trump apologist. I like Trump. I like him a lot. But I'm not some Trump apologist. But they went after him for no reason all the time. So yeah, imagine if any of that stuff had come up. I don't, Foxy, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't know if it's saying, can we? And it's just a weird, like, Siri or Android question. Can we use your studio one day? Just kidding. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading that wrong. I don't know what it is. Jackie says, the older you get, the less filters. In my case, anyways, 100%. 100%. I could give two shits. I'll say stuff and people will be like, I'm like, why? Get over yourself. Like, chill out. Like, I still like you. Like, we can still have a drink, but I'm not going to change me for you. Vincent says, Judy says over, you can't everyone make everyone happy. So don't try over on Rumble. 100%. Couldn't agree. It just is what it is. All right. Trying to scroll through. Tara Mama says, my favorite gin is Botanist. So good. That is good. That is good. My problem is the volume. So I've just got to, you know, choose where I'm putting those dollars. BM said earlier, do you remember back in 2020, they were saying, even if you died in a car accident and tested positive for COVID-19, that was counted in the numbers. Yeah, that is the biggest problem. And this week, this this past week, CDC started to get questioned on that. They started to not really answer it. And they started to kind of allude to the fact, despite the fact that their website, most of the last year or two, showed more transparent data. They just wouldn't describe it that way. That the numbers, the death numbers, are not accurate. They're not accurate. It's not been 800 or 9,000 people that have died from COVID. It's been too many. One is too many. We all can agree with that. If you're a decent human, you can agree that one is too many. But it is not that number either. It's not even remotely close to that number because of stuff like this. I always go back to it, and I don't have the story pulled up in front of me like we did back in the day, but there was literally a person who died in a motorcycle accident in Orlando, Florida, who was counted as a COVID death. It is the perfect picture of how they've done this. It just is. My ex, wow, Minnie, that's deep. I didn't know that. That is crazy. My ex-husband tried to kill me. Hunter could not be worse than him. No, I would say not. I guess in that case, you might have trumped him. Although, don't rule out what Hunter would try and do, but that's crazy. I'm very thankful that he didn't. Hopefully, he's locked away. That's awful. Liam Hills, category Drew, I'll take classy ways to drink at work for $1,000, Alex, or whoever took over on Jeopardy. I love it. Always entertaining, Leah.
She's got another great thing. You know, she's always good for t-shirts.
Yeah.
Or this is a segment one. So she says, now disco's in a box, inside a box, from the sound of things. New segment idea. Where in the show is disco?
Where in the show? I feel like we need another a syllable in there, another couple of words in there. Yeah. I like
it. That was a great segment they did with Matt Lauer.
That was a great, yeah. I was thinking of where in the world is Carmen Sandiego. Yeah.
Yeah, I love Carmen Sandiego, but then Matt Lauer, they sent him around the world, and you'd give out clues. You have to guess where he's at.
Where he's at. That was, yeah. That was before he started raping people behind the door and hit the button. Yes. Don't do. Not a good thing. Just legal disclaimer. Digital Video Game Archive, could you please speak out and tell the Dutch PM, Mark Rutte, I don't know if it's Rutte or Rutte, who's destroying the Netherlands, to get the hell out of the Netherlands and go to his glory hole, buddy Klaus Schwab. So I can't. I don't know him. I'm sorry that you and others are dealing with that. But I agree with where you're coming from. Change is needed everywhere, certainly there too. I wish I could do more. Drew going to a party later. I am. Is Tulsi gonna be there? I hope so. No, she's not. No, she's not. It's a family gathering. If she was, that would be disastrous. But I might invite her anyways. Let me call her. Where's my phone? I don't have her number. Yeah. Seriously, I don't. I don't have her number. But I do. I think that she's awesome. I think that she's more in line with what America has always been, even though she's different than me. I love the little white streak she's got going here. It's kind of like, what is it, Rogue from?
Yeah, Rogue.
Rogue. She's prettier than Rogue. But I love that you guys know. I put it out there. I am who I am. I love my wife. She's my girl. But Tulsi's great. Okay. Do you know Hunter smoked cheese? They call it chicken picking after crack. They think they dropped some on the carpet and trying to find it. Psychosis. Excuse me. I'm trying to read that. He's a mess. I've never snorted cheese. I don't recommend it. Leah's bringing up. Okay, that's the comment you just brought up there. All right, I'm going to look to Rumble. He serves no one by kowtowing. Absolutely, you're right. You don't. Okay. It's called Piecing Around. It is 4:36 Eastern in the PM. I'd love to invite AOC. That's a good idea. Look, AOC is a very attractive person. If she would keep her mouth shut, she'd offer the world a whole lot more. I'm not talking about like in a Kamala sense, just like in a don't talk or think out loud sense. She's an attractive person. She's just not smart. She's a good marketer. She's got a lot of things going for her. She just doesn't have enough going for her. And her remarkably, her followers are so much dumber than she is. And it's weird because I've got one screen here, by the way, that's delayed behind all the other feeds. So I'll like see my hand moving, and out of the corner of my eye, minutes later, I see my hand like whipping in my face, and it's kind of startling. Okay, we're going to head out for the weekend, though, guys. Again, we appreciate you so much sticking with us. So sorry for the tech difficulties in the front end. I wish we could handle all those. We've got some solutions we're going to work on, but again, some of them are out of our control. So we appreciate you being here. Thanks so much for it. We hope you have an amazing weekend. We look forward to spending each and every day with you next week. It's going to be fun. We'll see what the world brings us. We'll see what Joe brings us. In the meantime, have a great weekend. Be safe, be smart, be free.